Take your Bibles, please, and open to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14 is our scripture reference for this morning, verses 1 to 3. John 14, 1 to 3. Starting verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." As everyone here in our small group at Coastline should be well aware now, there is a controversy among independent Baptists regarding the timing of the rapture in relation to other prophesied events in Scripture yet to be fulfilled, but which we know must take place. It's not the time of the rapture, as in the hour or the day, or a particular date on the calendar, that is the issue of controversy, because we believe the Bible when it plainly states that no man knows that information, only God himself. Our interest is in the debate that is mainly about the time that the rapture takes place in relation to the Great Tribulation and the introduction of the Millennial Kingdom, which the Bible informs us the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally establishes on the earth upon his return. This morning I want to bring a message from the Scriptures that will give us confidence to stand strong and unwavering in the teaching that we have always held to in this church, and which historically, except for obvious false teachers of the like of Stephen Anderson, all other fundamentalist, Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches throughout the world have held to regarding the prophesied events that surround the rapture, events that must take place in their ordered time, according to what the Bible tells us about them. There are groups of people and churches throughout Christendom who confidently and vigorously profess of themselves that they are Bible believers, but who actually promote that there is no such thing as a rapture of the church saints, who the Lord Jesus personally comes for and removes from the earth, and who he takes to a place in his Father's house in heaven, which he has been preparing for them since he told them so in the scripture we opened with this morning in John chapter 14. These professed Christians who hold to the belief that there is no such event as the rapture, they're not the subject of my message this morning, but rather I want to discuss the people who do believe in a literal rapture taking place, but who have contradictory views, which I might add, they all profess to be able to prove from Scripture about the sequence of events that take place prior to and after that after the rapture happens. Among those who do believe in a literal rapture of church age saints, there are three options regarding its timing in relation to the Great Tribulation and the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in his Millennial Kingdom. The three views about the rapture, the 7-year Great Tribulation, and the rapture's relationship with Christians and the church are as follows. 1. The Pre-Tribulation Rapture. Those who hold to this view, as we do in this church, believe that the Bible teaches that church-age saints will be raptured pre or prior to the tribulation. In other words, the tribulation begins after the Lord takes us off the earth to his Father's house in heaven, where we stay for the entire 7-year period. 2. The mid-tribulation rapture, also called the pre-wrath rapture. Those who hold to this view believe that the church age saints will go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and then be raptured to heaven for the remaining 3.5 years. The third view is the post-tribulation rapture. The people who hold to this view believe that the church-age saints will go through the entire tribulation period and then be raptured to heaven. This morning I want to present a number of reasons why we are convinced that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture, reasons which will give you confidence to be able to resist and reject the seemingly sound arguments being presented in support of the other two positions, as well as the position of no rapture at all. Firstly, this morning, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because the Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 to 10, that the church-age believers are promised salvation from wrath. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 9 to 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 to 10, speaking about the report he received from the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, about the Thessalonian church, Paul wrote, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This portion of Scripture clearly tells we Christians that we are to patiently but watchfully wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from the wrath that is to come. In fact, the Lord has already delivered us from that wrath that is coming, but he hasn't yet transported us to the place of safety. But he will at the rapture. The original Greek word translated in our King James Bibles as delivered has the meaning of someone drawing someone to himself, rescuing that person for himself. The Lord will rescue us to himself and for himself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, you can turn to this scripture too, please. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 to 5, Paul also wrote something that assures the Christian that we won't be here for the sudden destruction that will come upon the whole world of unbelievers, all the non-Christians. Here Paul wrote, "For yourselves know perfectly," verse 2, "for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren," verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." The day of sudden destruction that is coming upon the unbelievers, all those who have rejected the Lord's offering of forgiveness and eternal life, and who dwell in spiritual darkness upon the earth, that approaching day will not overtake the Christians, because as the Lord so clearly assures us, we are the children of light. We are not in darkness, that the day should overtake us as a thief in the night. Also in Revelation 3:10, Jesus comforts the Christian with the assurance that because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. There is a time approaching when Jesus will try all the people who exist upon the earth. The Greek word translated as try means to test someone, to scrutinize, examine, and to discipline them. But these will be people who have not called upon the Lord to save them from the penalty of their sins. The Lord tells us that he is going to keep us from that event. The Great Tribulation is expressly called the day of God's wrath. Although there are very real consequences in our present day for willfully sinning against God, nevertheless, today the Lord is withholding the full severity of his anger against men's rebellion and his sin. He is offering the unsaved salvation through hearing and obeying the message of the gospel. But the day approaches when he will take the seat of judgment. He'll take his seat of judgment. Then the day of wrath will be poured out upon the whole earth. It is true that during every century of the church age, Bible believers and their churches have been subjected to persecution. But this persecution is different from that which is described during the Great Tribulation. The persecution of Christians has been caused by the wrath of wicked men, inspired by the wrath of the devil. The Great Tribulation, however, will be a period of time specifically relating to God's wrath. Revelation 14 and verses 9 to 11 describes this terrible judgment. You'd like to turn to this scripture, please. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 to 11, it describes the terrible judgment that comes with God's wrath. Verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Some believe that the church will not be saved out of the time of wrath, but will be saved through it. This cannot be true, because the Bible clearly reveals that those who are on the earth during the Great Tribulation, they will not be delivered from the wrath, but they will be overcome by it. The scripture that promises church-age believers deliverance from wrath must refer to salvation out from the very presence of that wrath. Regarding the Great Tribulation, in Luke 21 verses 35 and 36, the Lord Jesus speaks a warning with a promise to the genuine Christians, where he says, verse 35, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Church age believers must either be physically removed from the earth, or they will be involved in the day of wrath. But we've already referred to Revelation 3:10, which proclaims God's promise that we shall be removed. Let me quote it again. Revelation 3 verse 10 says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell on the earth." As well as that, the wrath of God refers to the entire period of Daniel's 70th week, as described in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through to 18. It doesn't refer to only the last half of that 7-year period, as some teach, because already in Revelation 6:17, we are told that the inhabitants of the earth will be saying that the wrath of God is come. Secondly, this morning, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, because the Bible clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth prior to the tribulation taking place. We learn this from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 to 8, where we read, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." In other scriptures, the Holy Spirit is shown to strive with sinful men and restrain their sin. But the unsaved are warned in Genesis 6:3, where God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." In Isaiah 59:19, God tells us that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord strove with sinful hearts during the 120 years when Noah was preparing the ark. In this present dispensation, in Acts 1:8, we learn that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost to empower the church for the Great Commission. He will remove the church age believers and the presence of the Holy Spirit with them before the time of God's great wrath. This does not mean that the Holy Spirit will not be present in the world at that time. The Holy Spirit, as God, is omnipresent. But it does mean that he will not be present in the same sense that he is in this age, in the world, and in the believers. Thirdly, this morning, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because the Bible clearly teaches that the church age believers are promised mansions in heaven. In John 14, 1-3, we read where Jesus told his disciples, turn to this one please and we'll read it. We're promised a mansion in heaven. In John 14, 1-3, we read where Jesus told his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When the Lord Jesus returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation, he sets up his messianic kingdom. If the rapture occurred at the end of the tribulation, the prophetic promise to church-age believers regarding heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb could not be fulfilled. Church-age believers are a heavenly people with a heavenly hope. We are told this in Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians 3 verse 20, and Colossians 3 verses 1 to 3. In Philippians 3 verse 20 we read, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ." The Greek word translated as conversation carries the meaning that it is our community and our citizenship that is in heaven. It is not here upon the earth. Hebrews 11:13 also reminds us that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are not permanent residents of earth, but of heaven. As well, Colossians 3 verses 1 to 3 exhort us, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." If our lives are hid with Christ in God, does that sound like we're destined for God's wrath during a period called the Great Tribulation, when God judges the world? Doesn't to me. Anyhow, fourthly this morning, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because the Bible clearly teaches that the rapture of the church age saints is imminent. When considering the coming of the Lord for his bride, the church, we need to be careful not to confuse this event with the second coming. The second coming is when Christ returns to the earth to destroy his enemies, and set up his millennial kingdom and reign for 1,000 years, whereas in the rapture, Christ does not return to the earth, but to the clouds in the air, where he gathers the Christians to himself and takes them to his Father's house in heaven. The imminency of the rapture means it can happen at any time, and it is not associated with any sign that can give us a clue to its arrival, nor is it associated with any biblical prophecy that needs to be fulfilled, which could announce its time and date of arrival. On the other hand, however, the Bible clearly teaches that the second coming of Christ is preceded by specific signs. Let's look at some of the trusted witnesses who have taught us in Scripture that the rapture is imminent. The Lord Jesus Christ himself teaches us that the rapture is imminent. In Matthew 24:42, for instance, the Lord has warned us that our gathering to him is imminent, where we read, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." In verse 44, the Lord continues the warning, where he states, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Again in Matthew 25:13, the Lord teaches the imminency of our meeting with him by stating, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." In Mark 13:33, we are again warned by the Lord, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." The Apostle Paul also teaches in Scripture that the rapture is imminent. In Romans 13:12, Paul wrote, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light." What Paul wrote in Philippians 4:5 also teaches the imminency of the rapture, and the need for us to be always ready. He said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." The expression "at hand," which is used in this scripture to describe the coming of the day of Christ's arrival, and also the coming of the person of Christ for his bride, comes from the Greek word which means near and approaching. It indicates that something is close by, at the ready, like your hand. In Luke 21:29-31, the term is used in Jesus' warning to his disciples, where he said, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shew it forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians 5:5-9. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-9. Here we Christians are told, verse 5, "Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." God has not appointed us to wrath, verse 9 says, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In closing this morning, looking at the subject of why we believe and hold fast to the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture, and as we've been considering that the coming of Christ for the church age saints is always at hand, that it is imminent, it is impending, it can happen at any time, I think we should be able to recognize that we need to be always ready. And as Jesus warned his disciples in Luke 21:28, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." It's the Lord's redemption that we are eagerly looking forward to, not his wrath upon the world of unbelievers who have rejected him. In a future message on this topic of the pre-tribulation rapture, I want to show that both the Lord's apostles, James and Peter, also taught that the rapture is imminent. Also, we have yet to look at a couple of other reasons from Scripture why we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, reasons that we haven't considered yet this morning, but which will give us strength to stand when mockers suggest that we are believing wrong doctrine. Until then, let us keep in mind the exhortation of Paul in Titus chapter 2. Turn with me, please, to Titus chapter 2, and we'll finish with this morning. So, until we come back to our subject on the pre-tribulation rapture, let us keep in mind the exhortation of Paul in Titus 2:11-13, where he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." We Christians are looking for the arrival of our blessed hope, the Lord from heaven. We're not looking for and longing for the arrival of God's wrath. Amen?